Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer looking at Billy Bones. Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast. My name is George. I'm here with Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hello, George. Ask me where I am.
Where are you, Sean?
I'm in a meeting room at work without having my dinner because I'm waiting for Nigel to join so he could have had his home-cooked dinner and seen to the dogs and everything else, while me and George here have not had our dinner. I just want to put that on the record.
And Nigel is here. Hello, Nigel.
How are you doing?
Where are you?
I'm in me shed.
And John is here.
Hello.
John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Where are you?
I'm in my loft.
Excellent.
He's also had his dinner.
I have had my dinner.
We are back after a week's international break. Did we all enjoy the England games?
Didn't watch.
Nah, me either. We won yesterday.
Did we?
West Ham won a game.
Oh, I missed that. Who did we play?
We played Everton at Goodison Park and we won 3-1.
Bloody hell.
Couldn't believe it.
We made toffee apples out of them.
So we can't do the pointless joke anymore.
No.
No, we can't, no.
That's a shame. Looking forward to that one.
Let's start with John. John, what impressed you most about the 3-1 victory against Everton?
It was the general, I don't know, they were up and at them, weren't they? It was good attitude all round. It was the opposite of what we were been saying about the other performances, really. We had I think everyone played about 7 or 8. That helps. And some outstanding performances. I think people like Aubameyang had a really good game. I think
agreed.
Declan Rice had a really good game. Obviously, Yarmolenko. I mean, having seen him and said what we said about him last time we spoke, you know, he's starting to show what so they've seen in him.
Yeah. He shut us up, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Anderson showed some glimmers of some stuff, and I'm hoping he settles and produces. You know, he looks like he's. He sees the pass. He looks like he's got something about him. But he does still flatter to deceive a bit. But, you know, generally, yeah, it was just an all-round good performance. We had a bit of luck. They hit the bar. We did. We had a bit of luck.
Yeah, we did get lucky throughout, really, didn't we? I said to you, we watched it together. It was almost like it was our day. It was meant to be.
They had a couple of opportunities. I mean, that tossing.
What'd you call it?
Before the watershed.
he had a clear header, didn't he? I mean, Fabianski again. I think he's been best signing so far. Just all round positive, good, and it was a relief all round. But it was just great when we got that third goal. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So yeah,
it was. Enjoyed. I noticed that the Everton fans were all getting a bit excited, weren't they? They were cheering them on and trying to get that equaliser when it was 2-1. But I think I said we need a goal, we shut them up, and then 5 minutes later we scored, which was perfect timing.
Yeah, that was it. It was pretty much that. They were, I mean, obviously we conceded, which was, there wasn't a great goal to concede just before half time. So they could have come out all guns blazing and had a go, but we still managed to sort of like contain them. I mean, defensively we were better. It is a work in progress,
mm-hmm.
but we're starting to show. That performance is showing signs of, you know, progress. So it was good to see.
And look, playing devil's advocate, Nigel, do you think we were better than Everton, or Everton just poor and we capitalised on them because they left us a lot of space a lot of the time, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it was two even teams. I reckon we'll finish roughly around the same place in the league. I mean, if you look at the shots on target stats, I think we had four and they had more, but we got three goals and they didn't. So we took the chances that were presented to us where they didn't. As such, I think if Richarlison had been playing, it may have been, you know, a bit of a different game.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the end of the day, we can only play the team Everton put out against us. So I don't want to, you know, pick faults in our performance, which I think was A-star.
It wasn't such a bare side, was it? Everton's side wasn't as bare as it was being predicted to be.
Tossing.
Since you asked, Nigel. 9 shots, 4 on target for West Ham, 44% of possession. Everton, 56%. 16 shots, 4 on target.
Yeah, so... I didn't ask, but thanks. Anyway, Stato. As I said, Everton had a lot of chances, and that they were getting a lot of crosses in from their left, so our right. They seemed to have a lot of success, but they never took it. That they never took the chances that were, you know, some good goalkeeping, some good defending. I thought Rice had a great game in centre mid. So, but I don't want to pick one player out. A great team performance.
It was good. A thoroughly enjoyable watch. Sean, where did you watch it? And do you have a differing opinion at all?
I watched it from home in Leatherhead. I thought, you know, when I first heard the team and I messaged you guys, I thought, really? You know, he's changing both fullbacks. He's dropping Snodgrass and Antonio. 6 changes was a very brave move on the gaffer's 65th birthday. Brave move. Did he want to get sacked? It just seemed too much change. And it before kickoff sort of said, does he know what his best team is? Is this an act of desperation rather than inspiration? But it worked. And you know, from the off, I thought the team played really well together, a lot more defensively. You know, for all the grief everyone gives Noble played well, showed a lot of leadership. It was like watching Brazil at times. They were little pinging them 1-2 or even in triangles at one point. I thought they played a lot better than Everton, that really never got going. And it started from the off. And I never had any doubt we were going to win. It was unfortunate. I didn't. I knew we were. It was destined. And Yarmolenko, you know, his first Premier League start, and to score 2 is great. And I'm just going to give you the player ratings from Clarence Hugh that we do at 400 people voted. Yarmolenko came top in the 8s, followed by Arnautovic in the 8s. Declan Rice, superb. Performance by Declan Rice proves we don't need Jack Wilshere, which we'll come to later. Fabianski, as John said, he was 7.9. Brilliant performance by him. But my big shout out is going to be the next one who got the vote of 7.5 is Obiang. I think underrated by a lot, showed he really deserves to be in the team. I really rate Obiang. Yeah.
He played a big part in the first goal, didn't he? And then got the assist for the third.
Anderson, you know, okay game. I think he's starting to come into it. Diop, rate Diop a lot. You know, a lot of people didn't think that he would get going. Babwana, had a decent-ish game. And then in the sixes, you've got Zabaleta. I thought, we all know, he lacked pace. But again, he looked decent in defence. And I've mentioned Noble, Masuaku. Antonio Snodgrass and Sanchez came on, didn't do a lot. The only one I'm going to pick out who I didn't think deserved to be on the pitch and did nothing is Sanchez. I still can't quite understand what Sanchez gives to us and why he was brought on. But hey, that's what the gaffer. But a great 3 points, got us to 16th place. A great birthday present for the gaffer. And, you know, when I watched it and I looked back at the replay, I thought we deserved the win. Maybe the stats don't say it and you're saying we got a bit lucky, but I thought we, if you looked at it as a neutral, you'd say West Ham deserved the win. So another bit of injury news, guys, straight in, okay. Especially for those of you who have Marko Arnautovic in your fantasy team like me, who earned me 12 points. Thank you very much, Marko. He went off injured, as we all know.
Yeah.
He's been given 2 days off rest, so he's not training for the next 2 days. But they hope that he doesn't need a scan, and he should be available to play on, is it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday
against Chelsea.
Knee injury, wasn't it?
Yeah, but just a knock.
Good. Good news.
Senior source says nothing to worry about. So there you go.
And that's a lovely little link in, actually, because next up on our running order to talk about is his potential replacement in the Everton game, which was Lucas Perez. But then it turned out to be Mikel Antonio. And everyone on Sky Sports News saying they're hearing he's refusing to warm up, blah, 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 blah. Now,
it did look like that, though, to be fair. He was shaking his head and saying no.
Yeah, but that was the only shot that they showed of him. So
yeah, but he might have been shaking his head saying, no, 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 put me on, I'm better than Antonio.
Yeah, it's not that he refused to warm up. Anyway, he has released a statement.
Do you want to read it?
After he was accused of not warming up.
Do you want to read it out?
Sure, I'm going to read it out. I'm going to read it out now. I don't need to do it to that. No, that's fine.
Sorry.
This is Lucas Perez. Ante las falsas informaciones difundidas. Sorry, that's the wrong one. Given the false information spread by the media that has affected my image, I am obliged to explain the only truth. I have never, ever refused to warm up in my whole career, let alone play a match. In my current club, the players on the bench warm up in series of 3 to 5 minutes, in continuous rotation. In the moment that Marco got injured, I was on the bench after warming up. The coach called me to go out to play. However, having realised that it was faster to substitute Antonio in, who at that moment was warming up, he changed his decision. The images that have been misinterpreted correspond to a talk with the goalkeeper's coach, in which I never refused to warm up and explained what happened. As a professional, I accept the decision and I will continue working hard to have as many minutes as I can.
Great.
You asked him to read it, Sean.
Yeah, I did. I don't know. I regretted it afterwards. Do we think that's it? Do we think that's the truth?
Yes.
Or does he protest too much?
No.
I think it's true. True.
Okay. Move on then.
Move on next.
ITKs.
Itkus. Is this the end?
Oh, this is the one. This has got that's Nigel's got to talk about this one. Go on. What do you want to say about ITKs, Nigel?
That's devious of you. It was a bit of a Twitter storm, really, in my opinion.
In a teacup,
created perhaps by themselves.
Created by the Times.
Well, let's get this right. The bloke in the Times wrote an article, 18 paragraphs long, the first three purely about leaks, predominantly. Or he named the aforementioned Twitter account, XWHU employee, who we all sort of know.
Adrian Mole.
Yes.
Or Mike.
Well, yeah, he's being called Mike on Five Live. I didn't get that.
Yeah, Mike. Get it? Bum-bum? Mike?
No, I don't get it.
But, microphone? Oh, right. Mike? Oh, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, at the end of the day, he's predicted the team. He says he's predicted it by using information garnished and putting it together like a jigsaw puzzle. And he managed to do it 89 times.
Yeah.
He got the last one wrong. Except, but hold up. But yeah, what you got to remember about the last one he got wrong was it was a late change because Masuaku got injured after the team had been picked. So therefore, if Masuaku hadn't been injured, he'd got it right 90 times. Now,
but I guessed it on Saturday and got it right as well.
The thing about this is it a story? Isn't it a story? I can't work it out. He got criticised in the past when he was doing it for leaking it on a Friday. So then he changed it to leaking it on a Saturday, at 1:30. Some people like it, some people don't. Me personally, I don't really go for it. But then again, I'm not bothered about knowing the team until it walks out on the pitch. So I'm not one of these people. I don't sit around and play predictor games. I don't try and talk about predicting the team. I just wait for the manager to put out the players and I'll support the people in the shirt, whoever they be. There's always going to be people that like these things. There's always going to be people that don't like these things.
I think as a party trick, he lets the West Ham Way event know what the team's going to be. I guess everybody wants to know everything ahead of the time. Look, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Justifying themselves. They've created themselves into a position, much like what you do. People may look and say, you and him are roughly the same type. When people get criticised, you and him are normally lumped in together. Now, I'm fortunate enough, I know you well enough, that I can criticise you, as well you know. And I have no problem with it.
In fact, Canning Town Lynn, if you're listening, I love the cartoon with the statue. It was brilliant. I loved it. Even though Nigel was involved and was a pigeon who obviously did the voiceover.
All I got was a text saying, can you say this for me? And that's what I did. And then I didn't know nothing about the statue.
Anyway, but ITKs, I see that actually it made more of a name for him. He's probably more well known. His followers will probably go up. So no, it's not the end of ITKs. It probably gave him more publicity. He ended up on Five Live and he ended up on TalkSport. Fair play to him. I don't see a problem. There's a bigger problem I'm going to quickly discuss, which is who is the person feeding the press? This started off with the London Evening Standard talking about a fish rotting from the head. Then there was the Daily Mail about the Sacco thing and an unknown source saying about that DS was still in control of transfers and there was only five. He only did business with five agents and there was no scouts left. Again, something that's untrue. And then there was a Times story again. Look, Matt Hughes is a decent journalist. Journalists don't make this up. I've been talking to people and what they say is there is a source out there that's briefing the media. The real story behind all of this is who is the person briefing the media? What is their agenda? What grievance they have? Is it a current employee? Is it an ex or a former employee? Or is it someone to do with the London Stadium or landlords? I don't know who it is, but it's someone in the know who has a grudge.
Is, and I've said it before, is when you've got the owners whose lips are as loose as ours are, you can't really criticise other people in the club when they behave in the same way. So the club cannot run round trying to plug leaks until they shut up the owners. Now, if the owners shut up, that leaves certain people with a bit of a problem.
Claret and You would have to shut down.
You've created a little market with Claret and You.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He's created his Twitter account and everything that has grown off of the back of that. But the problem with that is it relies on other people telling you stuff. If that other people stop, then where does it lead to? So because I've got no interest in it, it don't bother me.
Yeah.
I find it laughable, certain things that are said. And I think, you know, they take themselves too seriously. I do believe that. Well, yeah. You don't, obviously.
I don't.
Because I tell you often enough.
You do play the game, Sean.
Yeah.
You still play the game. You do all the competition bit of it all. It drives you nuts.
And it drives you nuts, John.
Oh, it does. All of it. I've really got no interest in any of it.
Perhaps it's because we were born in a pre-internet era. And I think a lot of it is as well, I think, it's driven by the overseas market. I think a lot of fans that don't go to games will read it and soak it up more than those of us that go to games. I think a lot of us that go to games just shrug our shoulders and go, oh, well, so what? Well, the people I know.
Well, do you know what? The power is in social media. The power is in blogs and YouTubers and everything, and not maybe in the papers. And maybe the writing's on the wall, you know. Where do people go for their news? It's not usually the Daily Mail, the Sun, or the Times anymore for the football. It's blogs, it's Twitter, it's Facebook, it's YouTube, it's
websites. But the
thing is, you've got to... like Twitter, they link to newspapers, don't they? You look at news stories, most of them link to the Daily Mail.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah, they do, but they pick their information up, often, from the blogs, etc. You know, gone are the days where journalists went out and hung around the training ground trying to get a snippet of, or taking a player out for a beer or doing their own sleuth work. It doesn't happen. Mostly, they go to the press conferences, but apart from that and the games, they sit in their offices trying to pick stuff up from social media, playing a catch-up and game.
You got to have an ego, haven't you, as well, to do it. I mean, I ain't going to lie. You know, I've had this discussion with someone who were criticising you and X. Oh, it's all ego-driven. And I said, but at the end of the day, I've got an ego. It's not as driven, but the fact that I do a podcast and the fact that I wrote in Overland and Sea, obviously meant I felt I had something to say and I wanted other people to hear it. That is an ego. Yep. So I'll admit to that. So I'm not going to criticise them or you for being egotistical. Because...
You or yous?
Well, all of you.
All of yous.
Yeah.
Can I just do a bit of breaking news, just as a segue? VAR will be trialled for West Ham's third round Caribou Cup against Macclesfield next week.
Oh, excellent.
Are any of you boys, use boys
no,
going?
No, you're going, aren't you, Sean?
I am, yeah.
What day is it?
Wednesday.
Yeah, I think I'm going out that night. I thought it was Tuesday.
So it's just me on my own then. Great.
Is it not Tuesday?
No, it's Wednesday.
Oh, because West Ham is playing Sunday.
Anyway. The supporters' club lives on. The supporters' club has been saved, snatched from the jaws of dissolvement.
I drove nearly 2 hours through the Blackpool Tunnel to get for that meeting, and there were 61 of us, including Nigel, and we weren't really needed in the end because.
Well, I was.
they fell on their sword. Well, you were, because you did another job.
Tell us what happened. But, you've got 90 seconds. Tell us what happened, please.
Go.
The new committee turned up. The guy that was left there was saying, you don't need to do a vote of no confidence. I'm resigning. The new committee was voted in. Nigel then took his gear and changed the locks. And the club is safe. There you go. And he's looking for a new premises.
Well, that was nowhere near 90 seconds.
Oh, and they're selling the old flat. And breaking news here, and West Ham have agreed to sponsor them to the end of the season to help them get back on their feet again.
Excellent.
Breaking news, they're having a new bar built at Stair Place.
Oh, that's quite fantastic.
And breaking news, they've teamed up with Irons United to do the YouTube channel post-match interviews.
Yeah, we should gate crash that.
Yeah, we will.
I know a couple of them on Irons United.
So do I.
I've got to go and gate
Stelios. Crash. Stelios.
I know Andrew, the Scottish one. So what we've got to do is we've got to go and film ourselves while they're filming.
Photobomb, yeah.
Yeah, cool. And film it as we do it.
What is Irons United?
It's like New Kids on the Block YouTube channel. Even though the other day they all look like members of ISIS, to be fair, sitting there recording themselves with their beards. I mean, it was like, they're obviously like hipsters. They've all got beards. They're all under 30. And they look like they hang around Shoreditch a lot, even though they've dotted to the four corners of the globe. Well,
anyway, it's time for this.
It's Facebook Twitter question time, where we ask you, the listener, to get in touch with us, the podcast. I don't have it in front of me, so does anybody else have it in front of them?
Yeah, here we go.
Don't let Nigel
I've got it now. I'll do the Facebook. On Facebook, Nigel put on the group earlier, facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast. Great win yesterday to cheer us all up. Tell us how you all saw the game. Do you see it as proof of Pellegrini getting it right, or is it still too early to tell? We have up first, Richard Dodds says, for the first 15 minutes, I was genuinely worried. I thought Everton passed the ball better than 19 most teams, including Man City. Like I have said all year along, this will be a rebuild top 12 finish with a good cup run and a couple of buys in January.
What does Dodds
Alexander know? Alexander McFarlane says, in the past, travelling to Everton has not been a happy hunting ground, but yesterday's win was convincing and gave us some hope. Signor Pellegrini got his tactics right, and you could see the players were motivated and showing effort. I'm not going to read all of that. Tom Kelly says, that midfield had been screaming out to be tightened up, and that front three was what I wanted to see start all season. It looked amazing. Derek Howard said, lots of positives. Arnie looked more up for it. Anderson starting to look quality. Yarmolenko was the difference, and the Balbuena-Diop partnership looked to be developing really well. Rice was superb, which was great to see. Paul Oakley says, I am from the East London. I'm from the East London, but live in California now. I listen to your cast on my way into work.
Cast.
I watched it about 7 a.m. Nothing better than starting my weekend stressed, but that game made my weekend. I was super nervous by the six changes. However, it finally looked like a team. More running and hunger in the middle of the park. Nick Harvey says, hola, fellas.
Hola.
Hola. It's still too early to tell, but some encouraging signs that Pellegrini is getting to know how to get the best out of his squad. Not least that we need some bite, discipline and mobility in the midfield, which Rice and Obiang provided. Matthew Kemp said, great result, and we needed that. Seems like Obiang, Noble and Rice were key in midfield, and clearly some strong performances from the attacking players. For me, Rice was man of the match. Chris Hooper says, they're playing Noble as a more attacking midfielder. The only problem is his pace, the fact he doesn't score goals, and his assist ratio is poor. What the hell does he offer? Alone. Oh, come on, Chris.
Leave him alone. Poor chap. You know, I thought he made a difference. So, boo to you.
Michael Malin says, I only saw the highlights on Match of the Day 2. I thought the boys played well. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
Anything on Twitter, Nigel?
Yeah, we got three. Jay Morris, photographer. I think he's advertising himself there. Jay Morris, who's a photographer. He preferred Pellegrini's Devil May Care hairstyle to this new version. He had his hair cut, didn't he? But it was his birthday, so he had to try and tidy that barn it up. But if it means that we'll keep playing well, then I'm okay with it. That's good to know. Perhaps he's more photogenic with his haircut. I don't know. First on says, of course it's too early to tell. The bloke's had 5 matches. A bit abrupt there from First on.
Nice. You should do voices for Cannon.
Do you reckon? I met me as a pigeon, thanks. Patrick Temporelli, patience was always going to be the key. Trying to overhaul the squad and indoctrinate, long word to me, a style takes time. One performance isn't form, but that performance has been coming, has it really? We look sharp, physical, disciplined and dangerous. We're going to keep getting better.
Ooh.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
Now, before Nigel does his updates, I got contacted by some anonymous guy who you know the name.
From anonymous.
And he said to me, I'll tell you later off here. And he said, I have worked out who Canning Town Len is. He said, we know Nigel and Gonzo does the voices, but they said, I know who it is.
I don't do voices.
He said, it's that Mike Maneira guy, isn't it? I said, no, it's not.
I love it when people...
He goes, it's that Mike Maneira guy. And I said, no, sorry, it's not Mike Maneira. It's not Gonzo, and it definitely isn't Nigel. None of them have got the skill to do the animation. No disrespect to any of those three. I've got the skill to do the animation.
No.
He's a talented person, isn't he? Who... wishes to remain anonymous for certain reasons.
Perhaps it's the mild-mannered janitor.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Could be. Right. Are you ready for your
pick
of the pops? Take it away.
Here we go, people. Super 6. Top 10. In 10, we've got Tin Sharman. 76 points. 9, Jeffrey Smith on 77, with Joe Haley on 8 with 77. Up to 7, Jonathan Stansfield with 78 points. In 6th place, we've got Ben White with 79. Down to 5, yours truly, with 84 points.
Get in. Down to.
Up to 4, Greg English, with 84 points as well. Up to 3, Daniel Patnell, 86 points. Up to 2, Andy Dennis, 88 points. And in at 1, or still at 1, Paul Disley.
Now,
90 Nigel, points.
We want to know where the presenters are, because I was 1 point behind George. I think he did better than me this week. Where are the presenters apart from yourself and Finn?
Right.
Should we maybe stop the music? Or...
Oh, yes. Sorry. Sorry about that. Yeah. Pop pickers.
Not bad for first attempt, was it? I'll work on that. Not half.
Yeah. Not half.
So I like the pause in Nigel.
Do you like it?
You're waiting for the day.
Who said we're not professional broadcasters?
Natural broadcasters.
Yeah, natural broadcasters.
Anyway, go on. Where is George, John and myself in Super 6? And in Fantasy League?
Right, here we go. Super 6.
I'm not in Fantasy League.
Who's winning the Fantasy League? Give us the top three, Nigel. Fantasy League, please.
Yeah.
Top three Fantasy League. I shall tell you. I think I've got the top 10, actually.
No, we'll just do top three.
No, let's not do the top 10.
All right. Well, in at 11 is Fabianski Sunday, Jimmy Lawless. Down to 10, Wiltshire Ham. Down to 9, Pellegrini's Linguini.
We don't need 11.
Pelly's Heroes.
You don't need 11 people.
West Ham Olympic Hick. Chidurchi, who's got a great name, Hick. I don't know where you are from, but it's fantastic. Six is Billy Bond's Bambinos. Down to five, Kieran Shalhoub, team name. At one point, we're leading. Barton Tan, Matt Floyd, joint third with Mongolian forces. Watch out for them, the old terrorists, MS-15. Oh, why so serious? Rob Robertson is at two and up to number one. Lasso, solid crew. Like it. Paul Vince, even though Graham Lasso didn't play for West Ham. So there you go. It's the top 11.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'm still leading in that one from us lot.
Yeah, but, like you didn't know that though, did you, Sean? Did you?
I do know that one. I don't know the Super Six.
Okay.
So, predictions.
Predictions.
We're away.
We are, We're away.
Just to mention, George is getting married. Hooray! And we're going to a stag do, myself, George and John, and how many others? About 20 others. So avoid Prague this weekend, so we're going to miss the game. But Nigel's going.
Yeah.
Nigel, then, we should start with you. That's a prediction. Chelsea away at home.
I think Chelsea is still going to have too much for us. I won't be too despondent with a 2-3-0 loss. But as long as we start beating the teams that we're supposed to beat, then but we could nick a draw. But having watched Chelsea at the weekend and you know, the fact that they had, at some point they got to lose or draw. I just, having seen the way Everton did get behind us, they didn't take their chances. I think Chelsea win.
Okay. Are you going to give us an actual result?
Yeah, I said we'd lose 2 or 3-0.
Oh, no, I must only take one answer.
2-3-0.
2-0 or 3-0?
Yeah, that's it.
For Christ's sake.
Well, I'm going for 3-0.
Right, well, then you've got 2-0, Nigel. John?
I reckon we're their bogey team a bit, Chelsea.
Yeah, I like it, John.
I reckon we're only lose 3-1.
Oh, you're joking, boys.
1-0.
Go on.
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win. Or 0-0. If I could have two, but I'll go for 0-0 or 1-0. But I think it'll be a 1-0 win. And Yarmolenko will get his third goal in two games to make it 1-0 to make misery of the Blues.
Let's hope so.
We will be back as long as we're not arrested. Oh, go on.
You've got what today is.
All right. Say something about Billy Bond's birthday.
His birthday, the greatest player.
Do you want to say happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bonzo. Happy birthday to you.
I'm not going to do that because it sounds silly, but now you've done it.
All right.
We'll leave it in. But yeah, happy birthday to Billy Bonds, the greatest player to ever play for West Ham, in my opinion. And probably in a lot of other people's opinions.
Yeah.
72, I believe.
Wow. Look, there you go. This has got to be the shortest podcast we've ever done in like a year. But we've had various technical issues and we aren't natural broadcasters. It's goodbye from George.
Goodbye, Sean.
It's goodbye from John.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Nigel.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Au revoir. Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.